I wasn't going to start until someone coughed. And I knew you wouldn't let me down. So, blame the incense, right? It's always the incense's fault. We don't use incense every Sunday here at the cathedral, although we could. Here it's more common that we use it in honor of a particular important celebration. In this case, the Feast of the Epiphany. Then again, what more appropriate day to worship our God with incense than when we were just reminded in the gospel that he has been worshiped with the gift of incense from the very beginning. So why is it that we use incense at Mass? Well, there may be no better starting place than Psalm 141. Let my prayer rise like incense in your sight, O Lord. And so as we sit here with this hazy little cloud above us this morning, it's incense that draws our attention from the things of this world to the heavenly mysteries that only the Mass can offer. Incense hasn't always been used at Mass, but it seems as though Christians have always known what it signifies. Zechariah was getting ready to offer incense when an angel appeared and told him that his son would be John the Baptist. And the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, says, from the angel's hand, the smoke of the incense went up before God, and with it, the prayers of God's people. And if there's any doubt over the role that incense plays in our worship, would you believe that early Christians gave their life rather than burn incense to a false god? In the year 112, the Roman governor brought in Christians in front of him, men and women, the account says, and he placed before them a statue of the emperor, and he ordered them to burn incense in front of it. And when they refused, knowing that incense was only used in the worship of the true God, these Christians, already in the year 112, became powerful witnesses of the faith. So think about the times that we use incense at Mass. The church teaches that Christ is present in four distinct ways every time we come to Mass: in the presider, in the assembly, in the word, and in the Eucharist. And our use of incense closely reflects that. Incensing the gifts at the altar, incensing the word, which I just did. And even though I don't normally use this option at the offertory, first we will incense me. At that point, then the server will take the incense and all will stand and bow. And then he will incense you. And then we'll conclude with a bow. It reminds us that at this sacrifice, we're not just offering bread and wine, but we are offering ourselves to the Father. All that we have and all that we are. Asking that our prayers rise like incense. And to use the words that we'll hear in just a moment, that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. That's why the Mass is not a spectator sport. Even if you say nothing, even if you don't receive communion, even if it's in a language that you don't understand, you've come here to offer yourself to the Father. We don't come to a service on Sunday to be entertained, but to worship our God. Think of those wise men who knelt before Jesus, opening their gifts of gold and myrrh. Think of the wise men who opened his gift of frankincense. You know, that valuable, sweet-smelling incense. That wasn't the gift. It represented a king who had traveled for miles and days to prostrate himself and worship the true king. And so still today, the sight and the smell and the feel of incense is a symbol of our worship, that we might pray with Psalm 141 and with all the church, "Let my prayer rise like incense in your sight."